Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1323. This is your host, Danny Pena. And for the first time this year, we have the whole crew. We're going to start off with Pete. You know, he's always out of town, always on tour around the world. Pete, welcome back. And where are you going next? You're always traveling.
I can't say, in case people are watching and listening. Yeah, but no, soon. And then, I don't think I'm traveling next month, so you guys might have me all month. End of Feb, early March, mid-March, I'm gone for about 2 weeks, Thailand and Tokyo.
Oh, see, Paris, if it's like places like that, he would definitely would mention it. But if it's like, you know, it's a little area, he will never mention it.
There's reasons, brother. There's secrets.
I know. I'm messing with you.
But no, man, I'm good. I'm good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, and also, Paris, welcome back too, man. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You look very happy today.
Hey, Black and Blue Division, man. NFC Central playoff football. I'm excited. Can't wait. I cannot wait for this show to end so I can go watch my team play.
What was it Chris Berman used to call it? The Norris Division?
Yeah, the Norris Division. Black and Blue Division. Yep. I mean, like I said, we're on a revenge tour. We took out the Eagles. We got a chance to take out the Lions. Then we get the 49ers. I'll be there. If the Bucs win today, I'm going to San Francisco. I will be there. And God forbid we beat the 49ers, I will be in Vegas. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care. I'm going. I don't care. I don't care
what you say. I'm going.
Even if it's all the way on top of the stadium.
No, I don't do that. I need good seats. That's what I'm saying. I don't care how much it costs. I'm going to be there in some good seats.
He's going to be on top of the big dome. He's going to be on top of the dome, just like looking down with the glass.
At a minimum, I know I'm talking crazy way ahead. If the Bucks were to make the Super Bowl, because you can't buy them directly, so you're going to have to get them, you know, on the secondhand market. Probably for some decent seats, I'm thinking at least $3,000. At least. Oof. Yeah.
That's how much it was last time you went? Last time you went to?
No. That was 2003 and it was $1,500 in San Diego.
That's way up now.
I think it's going to be higher than that. I'm thinking it's going to be $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$5,000-$6,000 at least. That's for nosebleed. If you want decent seats, you're going to have to pull out a mortgage.
Now, Paris, that's the only seats you'll find all the way on top, would you still go?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because before I leave this planet, I need to see the Bucks in the Super Bowl again. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's wild.
Yeah. But like I said, it's actually, I've never seen them in the NFC Championship game to like win to go. So that actually would mean more to me than going to the Super Bowl. But F it. I can't pass up the opportunity if they go to Super Bowl. But if they're in San Francisco next week, I will be there. I will 100% be there.
Well, good luck. Good luck. All right, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And make sure to support us, man. So now, if you're listening on Spotify, every week I post some polls there every week, and we always get different, you know, answers there from the listeners. So This is the latest poll I'll put up. Do you think it's a good idea for Xbox to release some exclusive games multi-platform? Yes or no? 85.7% said yes, and 14.3% said no. Your thoughts, guys. Pete, I know you weren't here last week, but just want to hear your thoughts from this, from the fans.
Why does it matter?
There you go.
Why does it matter? Honestly, man, like we sit here week after week and complain and gripe about the plastic console war on Twitter. And who cares? Let them do what they want. Let us play what we want, where we want, how we want, whatever. Just give me a good game. That's all I ask.
That's all I ask. Okay. Paris, I know you said a lot last week, but were you surprised of this poll?
I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised. I thought it probably would have been the opposite. It would have been 85 the other way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I think our listeners are very different than the bubble that we see at
I'm very happy to see that because. Again, I'm so tired of people being mad at me about this stuff, but it's like Pete said, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. And this isn't a, like I said before, if they were to all of a sudden put all their major AAA games on PlayStation and Nintendo day one, then stop making hardware because there's no point to making an Xbox anymore. But they're not going to do that. There will be exceptions to the rule where you see certain games show up on other platforms, definitely multiplayer games. And it changes nothing. Like I said, I'm sure we're going to talk about the Dev Direct. All those games that you saw in the Dev Direct are exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem. And that brings value to you wanting to have an Xbox. That's what they're doing. A Hi-Fi Rush going to the Nintendo Switch, going to the Super Nintendo Switch is not going to hurt anything.
Not going to happen. I'm not gonna have it, Ferris, but okay. I'll let you live.
You don't have to let me do anything. Literally, you saw the tweet I put out in all caps. 95 percentile agree with me. You're like the only person turning on meh.
Do you remember when was it the GameCube or the Wii that it had a project name? Everybody was like, oh, they should keep that name.
Wasn't it Dolphin?
Not Dolphin.
It was Revolution because Dolphin was 64, N64.
64, yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember everybody was like, oh, that's going to be the one. And everybody was wrong. That's what I think, man. Nintendo is they're so random. Like, I just don't see them keeping it the name the same. I just don't see it.
look,
but that's just me.
Not to debate this because obviously we're having fun with it, but you're right. Nintendo always goes against the grain. So the thing that makes the most common sense, they're not going to do. They're going to do something different because that's just Nintendo. All I'm saying is Super Nintendo Switch is not going to confuse the consumers. And it's a nostalgia play. It plays back to the past. I just think it would be a cool name. That's all.
So wait a minute. So Paris, you said everything we saw in the Developer Direct was going to be on Xbox only, but ESO doesn't count.
One second, Pete, because I see the chat. We're wrong. So Brad in the chat is saying Dolphin was GameCube. See, I was right. I got to go with my first instinct and stop listening to Danny. And Revolution was Wii.
The Wii, yeah.
Sorry, Pete.
But, okay. No, it's okay. But so go back to you said every game we saw on the Direct was Xbox only. That doesn't include ESO, though, does it? Elder Scrolls?
Well, I'm talking their games, and Square is obviously
their games.
Yeah.
Vision Amana, that's a multi-platform. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's just coming for the first time.
It's just the fact that they're even getting it on Xbox is a big deal. Yeah.
By the way, shout out to the GTR community. I joined the fantasy league. We're picking our picks, and I mentioned this to Paris and P. And Paris attacked me for my choice, but I was the first pick, and I picked Hellblade 2. And I was debating, should I go with that or Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth? And Paris goes, "Really, Danny? Really? If you want to win, you should have gone with
Final Fantasy 7. I love
Hellblade 2. Hellblade 2. What's wrong with Hellblade 2?
No. I love how you take a private conversation
And you screw this. I'm defending myself. You put. Wow. I'm defending myself, bro.
See. We should release the tapes, and people can see how you talk to me privately.
You would never do that publicly. You would never put that on, man. You would never put that on, man. Let's be real.
Oh my God!
Release the pain.
Imagine our one Snapchat goes out there like leaked.
Oh my God! What you talking about? We're done. We're done.
Cancel culture.
Release the tapes.
Everybody would look at it. This would be the response. Everything.
I know. They're like, what?
They talk to each other.
Look, people think just we're putting like angry emojis. Oh, man. It's even crazy on WhatsApp. It's even crazy.
But back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, privately, now that I'm going to say publicly, if you want to win, you should have took Final Fantasy VII. You letting your Xbox emotions cloud your judgment.
You're not confident. You're not confident with Hellblade 2.
No. This has nothing to do with confidence.
It's going to get a higher
score. Final Fantasy VII will have a higher score than Hellblade. It will. We can bet whatever you want, right? Look, you already lost one bet, Timmy. You want to lose another one? We can bet that right now.
Was this the restaurant with the wine bottle you just go spill?
Okay, this is Danny. I love how Danny continues to try and deflect with this dog food thing. Because here's Pete, you weren't around for this. Danny was so confident that Indiana Jones was going to release this spring. I go, you have lost your effing mind. There's no way it'll be fall 2024. I kept saying that. So I was like, bet. Then he was like, well, put money on it. I was like, no. Oh, you're scared? I was like, no. Let's bet dinner. Let's bet dinner. And then he was like, you're going to try to go to Malibu and do all this crazy stuff. I was like, no. We go somewhere reasonable. But let's bet. So then he finally bet, and then he lost. So then it was like, you're getting dog food. He just keeps saying that because you lost. Just accept that you lost and you were wrong.
Look, Paris. And listen closely what I'm about to say. It's okay for you to say Super Nintendo Switch, but when I say it's going to come out spring, it's a no. You can't let me dream, but I got to let you
know.
No.
Right? Okay, no, we bet. What? You see, Pete, you see how he tries to deflect into something else? Just admit that you lost.
You should have just come correct and just paid up. Just paid up.
Look, we have topics to talk about.
See, look at him. He's trying to move on. I'm going to be so wasteful at this dinner. Shrimps, lobsters, ribeye, porterhouse, T-bone, lamb chops, roasted duck. Goose.
You know what? Oh, it's true, Arctic. Shout out to Arctic. We're going to take them to In-N-Out Burger. All right, so let's go to the next topic.
Hell, we ain't.
Hey. Hudeo was there, man. If he could do it, you could do it too.
We're going to the steak. We're going to the steakhouse right there in LA Live, and I'm ordering the most expensive thing on the menu. I don't even care what it is. It could be roasted rat sewer. Pumpkin pie, and that's what I'm getting. And you're paying for it.
To the Super Bowl. You should take me to the Super Bowl.
I ain't taking you nowhere.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Now, let's talk about this real quick, Matt, because this has been like the craziest past couple days now. And look, I heard about this game, but I was like, you know, wasn't like excited about it. But Pal World, breaking records, 4 million copies in just a couple days. That's insane on Steam. I don't know about Xbox. I don't know the numbers on that one, but just want to hear your thoughts about that, man. Like, Pete, do you see yourself playing this at all? Like, you know, reading this is saying that the latest stats so far, 86,000, over 86,000 units per hour has been selling.
I mean, that is crazy. It's remarkable to see what they've done with this game, right? I mean, and it's not their first iteration into something like this. Their past game 3 years later, it's still in early access. It's if you really think about it, because like the memes say it's one thing, right? The memes say it's basically Pokemon with guns. It's Pokemon Fortnite Battle Royale, but it's not. If you really take it down to the bare brass tacks of what the game is, it's Rust slash Arc Evolved with a little bit of Pokemon in, you know, at the end of the day, right? It steals, I don't want to say it steals, because that's, you know, that's a pretty harsh statement, but they do take elements from the Pokemon game, and it seems to be rather interesting and fun, right? It takes some time to get started, right? Because it's a crafting survival type game that you need to spend time collecting resources. And if you like a game like that, then yeah, you'll probably enjoy it, because at the end of the day, your pals, as they call them in the game, are just like, they're there to run the task. So it's basically making sure that they've got the skills necessary. So whether it's collecting resources or actually printing and mining guns, or, you know, if they're a fire type and, you know, heating the ovens. But I mean, it seems like fun. Now, is it for me? Probably not, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's not for me. I tried last night. It's not for me at all, but it looks interesting, you know, but. Paris, you got to play it at all?
Yeah. I played it yesterday too, and it's not for me. I created my character, and I just did it on Xbox. But I created my character, and I was running around, and I beat up some chickens, and then I had to get some rocks and some wood, and then I had to do the craft table thing, and I was like, I don't feel like doing this. And I just stopped.
I didn't have the energy for it.
It's the same thing happened to me.
Yeah. I was,
then I get hungry. Then my character gets hungry. I'm like, bro, I can't do this. I just moved on.
I was like, I there's too many other things I want to play. I don't feel like. And again, this is early access. They'll tweak it and all that stuff, which is fine. I get the appeal. But look, I tell both of y'all this. Them Nintendo lawyers are getting ready.
Oh, they're like this. They're taking notes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, and plus, I saw some stuff about AI and all that. I'm just, I was like, it's not really for me. I'm not going to force myself into playing this. Because I was talking like Snowbike Mike and stuff. And what they're all telling me is, because they've been playing it on Kind of Funny and streaming it, and Andy and all them, Greg. But I guess you got to get past that part that we're talking about right now. And once you get into the actual game part of it, it gets really fun.
That's when it gets in. Yep.
I catch you at 1.0, I guess, or something. I don't know. There's other things.
Wait, how long is that?
Oh, it's about 4 or 5 hours of resource collecting and building and all the, like, you gotta on top of capturing them, right? And that comes after, because you need to have a base that you need to build. And then you have to craft and capture your resources, create the base. Then you start, you know, farming animals, basically, right? You're going, you got to weaken them to their good. It's very similar to like Pokemon, where you got to weaken them to a certain degree, then throw your capture ball. And then you run a percentage of whether you can capture them or not. And then you bring them back. And then they're your basically your workers, right? For lack of a better term, and you put them to work in your village or your base. But that takes time before you can actually start going out and start throwing out like multiple creatures to go and do raids, which is a thing in there, right? After you have like, you know, dozens of hours in the game and you've built up your character, it's just, I'm 50 years old. I ain't got time for all that, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
I just don't have time for it.
I was like, this is too much work. This is too much work early on. It don't feel fun. I'm going to do something else.
I'm going to mow the yard or something. It sounds like more fun at this point. Yeah.
But to be clear, I know we're having fun with it. I'm not saying that to take away from anyone that's loving it, because clearly millions of people are loving this game right now. So we'll see. And then, like I said, it's early access. They'll, they'll tweak it. They'll get lessons learned from it. But this is a pretty big deal right now. So
Mike, I have a question about that. How much of this popularity is actually due to it being on Game Pass? And I think that's
Steam. Yeah.
Actually, I have the numbers of how, put it this way, it broke records of how many people at the same time playing it. Yo,
It just got to the top 10.
No, no. It's top six okay. right now. Top six. Yeah. So PUBG is still number one.
Yeah, I'm right.
3.3. Counter-Strike, 1.8. Lost Ark, 1.3 million. Dota 2, 1.3. Cyberpunk, 1.1. And then Power World. But it surpassed Elden Ring, New World, and Hogwarts Legacy, which is insane.
Yeah, it still has to beat Baldur's Gate 3, right? It's like right behind it or something like that, right?
I think it passed it. Of like the amount of people playing at the same time, I think it's passed it.
Wow,
it's not in the top 10 that I see.
Because right, I mean, if anything, that's like the most recent one that actually got to the top 10, which is a massive, you know, which is a massive feat in and of itself. So if it has, wow, that's strong.
Yeah, it's impressive. Now, my question to you guys before we go to the next topic is: it because of people want to play like a game like Pokemon similar to that? That's why you think that's why people are are playing this?
Yes.
Or this is more of like, this is something new, let's just play it or whatever.
I think it's the Pokemon thing. I think if anything, like, I know Nintendo might try and sue this game out of existence, but regardless, Nintendo needs to make their own version of this with Pokemon. They just do. I mean, yeah, imagine, yeah. Look, if people going this crazy over that, imagine that on the Super Nintendo Switch. Oh my goodness gracious.
With
oh.
the actual characters that we yes. all know oh and love. My
God. Yeah. You know what? I was shout out to Arctic. He reminded me this. So if you play on the PC version, multiplayer watch, you can play up to 32 people.
Yep.
Xbox only 4. Yep. Now, I downloaded Xbox Game Pass PC and it's still 4.
Yes.
But if I've gotten on Steam, it would have been way more players.
And that was the other reason why I stopped playing too. I was like, man, I should just be playing this on Steam. I'm not investing all this time into the Xbox One.
I will say though, it plays remarkably well on the Steam Deck. Like, there's not a graphics issue. Like,
oh, Steam Deck. Okay.
Yeah, on Steam Deck, it might be perfectly suited for those on the Steam Deck get a chance to play. I mean, well, at the end of the day, look, regardless of whether you like the Ally or like the new MSI one that's coming out in a couple of months, that we talked about a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. on a handheld, it just might be the right one for this type of game.
What the hell is Paris doing? Showing everything that he has?
I don't know.
What the heck is going on, man? For those not watching the on Twitch, Paris is showing all the handhelds that he has right now at the house.
It's like a little kid on Christmas.
Is the OLED? This is the OLED?
Yeah. This is the OLED Steam Deck. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Which just
light
real
flex.
Quick.
Light flex.
I prefer over the ROG Ally. It's a better handheld, in my opinion.
Hmm. Okay.
Light flex.
All right.
Oh, don't make me grab my Switch OLED. Grab that too. I got all kinds of things.
Hey, grab the Super Nintendo Super Switch, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. All right. So let's also talk about Paris' favorite Xbox Developer Direct. What are you giving me that look?
You're the one that took Hellblade 2 number one. Might be your favorite. Not
yeah.
mine.
Yeah. Hellblade 2 all the way. I'm very excited for Hellblade 2.
By the way, and let's get into this for a second, but I saw our good friend Victor Lucas, OG legend in this mm-hmm. industry.
Legend.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He tweeted at me after, you know, because I did all cap Super Nintendo Switch. This is what he said. He's showing stat wise that the NES sold 62 million, the Super NES sold 49 million, the 64 sold 33, the GameCube sold 22. Man, I'm surprised Nintendo stayed in the hardware. Everything was just going down after NES.
Going down, yeah.
But then the Wii sold 101 million. The Wii U only sold 14 million. And the Switch, as of right now, is 133 million. And then he's showing how the PS1 through the PS4 all sold over 100 million. And he's saying the Switch 2 is the better move. It tells people it's brand new and much better with one tiny name change. I agree with Victor, but going back to what you were saying, Danny, Nintendo ain't going to do common sense. They're going to do something weird with the name. It ain't going to just be Switch 2.
They're going to do whatever they want, and we're all just going to be like, here's my wallet. Here's my credit card. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. You know what they're going to do? They're going to have a trailer. No, no Summer Game Fest, nothing. It's just like, here's a trailer. Get ready for our press conference. It's out this month. And that's how they're so random, man. Nintendo's so
yeah.
random.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to be buying it.
Yep. Everyone. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So the next topic, Xbox Developer Direct. So I really enjoy this. I personally think is Xbox best Developer Direct yet. Great production. Love the editing. I just love. What?
Go ahead.
But you were saying, what you were saying? Look, I got it on our audio. I'm gonna put it up. I'm gonna listen to what the hell you said right now. But anyways, so Hellblade 2, loved Indiana Jones. Now I'm gonna go back to Indiana Jones very quick. Cause you know, Paris and I, we've been going, you know, talking about how excited we are about Indiana Jones and everything, right? And, you know, developed by Machine Games. You know, we love Wolfenstein, all these other games that they worked on. First person, not third person. But it is wild to me that the majority of people enjoy the presentation of the game. But there was a couple that were like, nah, I'm not buying it. It's not third person. And I'm like, wait a minute. If it's third person, then the same people are going to say that this is an Uncharted clone or Tomb Raider clone. So I'm happy this is first person. I think this is going to be great. It looks fantastic, the game. So, but I just want to hear your thoughts about the Developer Direct. Paris, I know we talked about this on Ariel's show a couple days ago, but let me hear your thoughts about the Developer Direct.
I thought it was an A+ presentation. I thought it was great. Even though I did see a guy on Twitter, he goes, they could have showed nothing. And because it's Xbox, you would have still said it was an A+. Like, people just get so in their feelings over this stuff. It cracks me up. But no, I thought it was an A+ presentation. To your point, compared to the Dev Direct last year, you can tell they took lessons learned from it, kind of trimmed the fat. It felt very streamlined and held my attention from start to finish, which was great with all five games. I mean, as you're saying, the highlight of it was Indiana Jones coming out. Now, to address the quote unquote controversy of that. First, let me back up. I love that trailer because it felt like it's canon in the Indiana Jones cinematic universe, so to speak. Right. And it felt that way. It felt like I was watching something for an upcoming Indiana Jones movie. And to be honest, even better than the last two Indiana Jones movies. That's how good it looked from a trailer perspective. But to the controversy of this, why first person? And it will have third person aspects in it, in some of the traversal stuff. But people that were, you know, bummed out about it not being 100% third person, it's Machine Games. And this really goes all the way back to their original roots when they were Starbreeze and making Chronicles of Riddick, Butcher Bay. They are really good at making first person experiences. So why do something that you're not good at? Do what you're good at. And it presented great, in my opinion. It looked fine. There was no issues. Again, if you've been a fan of these Wolfenstein games, you know what I mean. I saw Machine Games fingerprints all over that trailer. And that got me excited because I love me some Wolfenstein. So this is going to be great. It felt like an Indiana Jones. It felt like it was in the Indiana Jones universe. I mean, Troy Baker doing an amazing Harrison Ford impression. Obviously, they got Harrison Ford's likeness for Indiana Jones, which was great. I'm in. Sign me the frick up. I'm there day one. In my opinion, when this gets clipped, this will get you to go buy an Xbox. Because why would you not want to play this? You're going to want to go play this. And if you don't already have an Xbox or subscribe to Game Pass or buy it on PC or whatever, you want to play this when it comes out, Danny, this fall. You want to buy it and play it. That's how it's going to look to me.
What are you going to say with a deeper voice? This fall.
it's great. And like I said, it's almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario to some people that were criticizing this. If they would have gone full third person, oh, you're just copying Uncharted. You go first person. Why aren't you going, did I say third party, third person? Why aren't you going third person? This should be third person. So it's like, you damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I'm glad Machine Games is doing what Machine Games is good at doing. And like I said, when the game comes out, it's going to be fine. No one's going to be complaining about it being in first person. I mean, I'll take it to a lesser degree. CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk, a lot of people were critical of why did they go first person versus third person because of the obviously the success they had with The Witcher 3. I mean, look, all technical glitching issues aside, look at Cyberpunk right now in first person. No one's complaining about it being in first person. It plays great. So I think this will be a similar thing with Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I remember when CD Projekt Red showed Cyberpunk, people were pissed. Mm-hmm. They're like, why is this not third person, like The Witcher? Yeah, totally agree. Pete, your thoughts about the Xbox Developer Direct, in your opinion, if you got to see it?
No. I actually got back to my hotel room just in time after dinner to just sit there and watch it from beginning to end. And it's probably the first Developer Direct I've actually had a chance to watch, like, in real time, not have to go back and catch up. I enjoyed it, right? At the end of the day, Aras probably and Visions of Mana are probably the two lowest ones for me because they're not technically my type of games, but to see how well Avowed showed out on that, to really see that deep dive on Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, seeing Dom on screen for the first time in a long time. I remember going back to 2015 when I got to interview him for the first Hellblade at E3, and that just started like the love for that title. And now to see where they've gone after the decision to pull back on Unity 4 and go to 5, and now where it's at. And then of course, like, you know, as you know, we've all been fangirling technically here over Indiana Jones. I'm hyped to see that scene when he was all tied up and then, you know, the Nazi guys just coming in closer. And it seemed like it was just, like Paris said, it was just like the movie we wanted to see after Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it mm-hmm. brought so much emotion and brought back little 10-year-old Peter that I was hyped. I'm like, yeah, that's the one that I want to play. That's the one that I can't wait for. But I did like to see how Microsoft brought in everything else and just every game showed well. Yeah, some may or may not be for you, but to see them rounding out an overall great catalog of games, not just, you know, things that are, you know, keyed into specific game types, but an overall game, overall game catalog, they're hopefully this is the new upward trend for Microsoft, because, you know, they've been taking some L's over the last couple of years and we're starting to now see some of the things that was expected of them with all these massive signings over the last 5-6 years.
So
yeah, go ahead.
One thing I just want to add to what Pete was just talking about with Indiana Jones and just nostalgia, because I tweeted this late last night too. There's one cameo. The fact that this is in the canon in the universe, right? And it takes place after Raiders of the Lost Ark and before The Last Crusade. There's one cameo we got to get in there, Pete. There's one.
Oh yeah, short round.
He'd most likely be a teenager during the events of the Great Circle, which, because mm-hmm. it's so funny. I saw so many people online not realizing that Temple of Doom is actually the first one. And then Raiders happens after Temple yep. of Doom. Like mm-hmm. people weren't realizing. I'm like, no. Temple of Doom was a prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark. So short round, by the time you would get to the Great Circle, yeah, she's probably a teenager at that point. I would love to see them fit that in there, even if it's only just for a second, just to show you that he's still in that world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it'd
like
be
working, great. Like working in like the office, like or that. Like working with him, like in the museum or something like yeah. that, just mm-hmm. cataloging stuff yeah. and yeah. still at yeah. his side, like his number two. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, I really enjoy the Developer Direct, and I hope we get to see more this year. And I posted this already on Twitter, but, you know, I don't want to wait till like next year or wait to the next showcase later this year. Why not have once in a while multiple directs during the year, maybe like 2 or 3, that type of thing. And look, we know that there's going to be a lot of games coming out in the future from Xbox. So why not? You know, so, and Paris, go ahead. You raised your hand.
Well, I want you to finish, but then I want to interject.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying I would love to see multiple, maybe one more before Summer Game Fest, or if not, have another one, during Gamescom, like around that time. Because I know last year they had Gamescom, but there was nothing really new there. It was basically the same thing that we got to see. It was more of like a sit down type thing with developers. But yeah, I just want to say that very quick. I would love to see more because they did a phenomenal job with the developer direct.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you, actually, and not because I don't want to see more. I think the format of what the Dev Direct is, make that an annual once a year January event, right? Like, let's just take this year as an example. You just did this Dev Direct. You kind of set the table for what Xbox gamers can expect from Xbox in 2024. These are five games we know we're going to get at some point in 2024, right? This year, probably late March-ish, April timeframe, you got to talk about Activision Blizzard. You got to sit down, set the tone for that. What can we expect? What's going to be in Game Pass? What isn't? What's going to show up on other platforms, etc.? Talk about that then. You still got your June showcase, and we know that that's the big one. That's the one where, along with Showcase Extended, where you're going to show, you know, some things that are going to come later in the year of 2024. Like, they'll probably show Indiana Jones again, things like that, Avowed. But then you're going to show future stuff, right? So we'll probably see Perfect Dark, Fable again, stuff like that. Showcase Extended, you're talking directly to the developers again. Sit down interview with Tina. Hey, look, maybe your boy might get in there. Who knows? But do that. To your point, you got Gamescom at the end of the summer. That doesn't have to be a Dev Direct format. That you can show a few other things. Maybe someone walks on stage. That whole thing with Keeley. I personally would love to see them add in something around the late October, November timeframe for FanFest. I don't think they're going to do that because clearly they've melded FanFest in with the June showcase. And then you got the Game Awards in December. That's where you show off something down the road like Blade or whatever, right? Come back to January, rinse and repeat, another Dev Direct. I think that's the cadence they could do every year with something. So instead of an Activision thing in 2025, you do have a kind of a pre, because, you know, they do like the ID at Xbox showcases, stuff like that. They did the partner showcase in October last year. Mm-hmm. So you continue to do those things to fill in the gaps between Dev Direct, Showcase, Gamescom, Game Awards. You do an ID at Xbox, but you do an ID at Xbox, you do a partner showcase, things like that. So you're consistently communicating with your community throughout the year about upcoming stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I thought about ID at Xbox. I think that would be great because I know they have done stuff with, I believe, Twitch and IGN to promote the ID at Xbox. Mm. But why not do it like a developer direct format, but with the developers that worked on those games that's coming out in the future, you know? So,
and one last thing, shout out to Tina Amini, because ever since she's came on board with Xbox, they've been killing it. They've been killing it, and she's been leading that team, and she's awesome. And she took my job at the Showcase Extended, but I can't be mad because she's dope.
Yeah, she's mad dope. Yeah, now the last thing I want to bring up is The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered that just came out. We had this game now since December, Paris, right? Mm-hmm. Was it mid-December, mm-hmm, something like that? Shout out to PlayStation for sending us an early copy of the game. And people might not believe this, man. They're probably not going to believe me what I'm about to say. But you know, that was my first time playing The Last of Us Part 2? First time. And the reason, when it was coming out, PS4, I said to myself, I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to wait because I know they're going to release it on the PS5. I don't know when exactly, but I'm just going to wait. I tried my hardest to stay away from all the spoilers and all this stuff. There's going to be no spoilers here, but I got to play the game, and I didn't get the controversy. I think it was fine. I don't know why people really got really mad about the story, the changes and everything in there. I felt like maybe some of the parts were a little bit too early, certain things that, you know, that took place in the game, but I really enjoyed the game. I never played the PS4 version. Now, the new mode is kind of like a roguelike mode that they added in the game. It's interesting. I didn't see myself playing it a lot in there. I tried it out a couple of times. It looks pretty cool. But I think for fans that have the original, they want to upgrade it, because that was the issue that we had, I think, when the with the first game, they were charging $70. PlayStation were charging $70 for that. And I know Paris was very vocal about that. Very, very vocal about it. And I think the change that they made this year with this one is you pay, I believe, $20, I believe it is. Right, Paris? Or is it? I'm trying to remember exactly how much you have to pay to upgrade it.
It's $10 to upgrade.
$10, my bad. $10 to upgrade it. And I think that's a better move than charging $70. So I got to give PlayStation props on that. But I really enjoy the game. Now, I've never played on PlayStation 4, Paris. So was there any major differences in your opinion? Because I know you played the previous one. Was there any major changes? Or no, it was the same exact.
I don't know. I've been sick, and like I told you, I haven't played nothing. I haven't played it.
Oh my god!
Yeah, this is all, hey, you're the lead review on this, not me. So
look, I enjoy the game. I really enjoyed it. I haven't finished it. I'm almost there, but I think this is a game that people should definitely should try it out. If you never, now I know that this version is gonna come on PC. That's like 100% that's going to happen, because it happened with the last one. Now, I just hope that the PC version is not as bad as the one from the last one that came out. It was really pretty bad. And I mean, it took a while for placing the devs to fix it. But now it's perfectly fine and everything now. But man, in the beginning, characters looked pretty bad on that one, man. So, but yeah, I just want to say that, like, I really enjoyed Last of Us 2, man. But I just didn't get the whole controversy, man. Now, what is this, Paris? What is it? What is this, man? What the heck is this, Paris? What are you trying to start? Were you trying to start ish? Some problem here? What's your problem? Hey, what is this? He's showing Hi-Fi Rush.
Play it where you want.
So, Super Nintendo Switch? Coming soon. Super. It looks like the Switch, honestly. If you go like this very quick, it looks like the Switch. Yeah. Man, that's the perfect game for the Switch. Hi-Fi Rush. I'm sorry. That's the perfect game for that. So, but yeah, just want to say that, man. I had a great time, man, with it, man. Now, Paris, you play the first game. The first version on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Were you okay with I wasn't mad about the controversy without spoiling the
I wasn't
story.
Okay. No, I wasn't okay with it. No.
You weren't okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's all you're gonna say?
Well, I'm not trying to spoil it. So no. I'm not gonna say anything else. No. There's a couple controversial things that happened in there, but the main one, no, I was not a fan of.
Okay. We'll move on.
Let's put it this way. When we get to that in season 2 of the HBO show, there's going to be a lot of people are going to be mad.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You think people you think people are going to stop watching the show? Because I don't think so. I think people are going to complain. They're still going to watch it.
I think a lot of people watch the show for the thing. And when the thing goes away, people are going to be mad.
Okay.
That's me.
I'm very curious.
Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt when I played The Last of Us Part 2. You're taking a very key component. God, I want to spoil it so bad. A very key component of the first game you took away in the second game. Wasn't a fan.
Okay. But here's the thing. And I will say this, because we talked about this kind of with Indiana Jones and other games. This is the vision of the developers, man. I know sometimes we want certain things, but that's not our vision. That's the vision of the people that worked on the game. And I think it's okay.
No, Neil Druckmann can do whatever he wants. It's his vision, to your point. Me as the fan, I'm allowed to have an opinion, say I don't like it. I'm not saying I'm done with The Last of Us and I'm never going to play it again. But no, I personally did not like that decision, because it betrayed part of the reason that I became such a fan of the first one.
Man, I wish I could say something, but I don't want to say it. I'll leave it like that. I don't want to spoil the game, but there you go. All right, anything else before we wrap it up?
Well, I do want to circle back to the Dev Direct because, you know, typical Danny, he just skates over everything, so we didn't really talk about all of it. And Pete did touch on this. I'm a big fan of Obsidian, so Avowed scratches the RPG itch for me. I'm very excited to play Avowed. Again, I just found it interesting. Look, we know there's been a visual downgrade from what they originally showed in 2020. I had already accepted that. So coming into this, what they showed to me was fine. I think the combat's going to be fine. The biome diversity of the quote unquote open world, we'll obviously see how that works out. Looks great to me. The various factions and everything. The player customization, the weapon customization. It's what I want in an RPG, and it's coming from Obsidian. It's a brand new world, universe, IP, the whole thing. I want to play it. I'm really looking forward to it. Like Pete, you were talking about Ara, History Untold. I'm a big Civ fan. So getting the people that helped make Civ 5, and now they get to basically take Age of Empires, Civilization, Age of Wonders, and combine it all into one game. Sign me the frick up. Now, finding enough time to be able to play it is one thing, but the RTS community, it's going to be huge in it, I think, personally. So really looking forward to that. And then, excuse me, just quick thoughts on Hellblade 2. Finally, there's a damn date. I'm personally, excuse me, uh-oh, still getting over being sick.
Oh,
I'm personally not upset that it's all digital. But I understand the people that want collector's editions, wants physical copies of the game. It being an 8-hour experience similar to the first one, I'm okay with as well. Not everything needs to be a 50-100-hour experience. As long as it's compelling in those 8 hours and resonates with me, which the first one did, I'm totally fine with that. And the fact that they priced it at $50, okay, cool, good. So we'll see. Was it May 21st? That's coming out. So really looking forward to that. And similar to you, Pete, Mana, Visions of Mana. I was never huge into that series. I don't think I think the last one I played was The Secret of Mana. And that was like late 90s, right? So
Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So but I understand it's a big freaking deal that it's coming to Xbox and that whole thing. So again, I think the 5 games that they showed, they all showed very well. It was a great showcase. And I think Xbox is kicking off 2024 the right way. Not to mention, you still got games like Towerborn that's going to come. Flight Sim 2024 is going to come. You got the third party deals that they have with Stalker 2, which they now said is September 5th. That's coming out. Replaced, fingers crossed, is still going to come to Xbox as well. And we know there's going to be other stuff like Lightyear Frontier is coming this year. I think Hollow Knight is still coming this year. We know there's going to be other surprises. I have my fingers crossed that South of Midnight from Compulsion winds up showing up this year as well. I think it's going to be a good year for Xbox. I do. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff to play, not to mention the other third-party Game Pass Day 1 deals that they do as well. So indie games, you know, ID at Xbox stuff. There's going to be a lot. So looking forward to it. One last thing. And then, sorry.
It's okay.
they obviously jumped the gun on Final Fantasy, what was it, 14, right? Mm-hmm. But we know that's coming too. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you see Activision announcing anything new besides Call of Duty?
Yes.
Not Blizzard, but just Activision.
Oh, I was actually thinking Blizzard more specifically. Oh, and you're touching on that. We're not even talking about Activision Blizzard. We know what Call of Duty is coming. But I fully expect there's going to be a couple other things that come. At least one more thing besides Call of Duty that'll come from Activision Blizzard in 2024, I would imagine. What was the rumor? What's the rumor? Isn't it a survival game? New IP they're working on?
New IP?
Yeah, brand new IP coming from Blizzard. This was before even Microsoft acquired them. They had been talking about that. So there's going to be some stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see what of the back catalog of Activision games show up on Game Pass as well. Odyssey. Again. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
It's going to be interesting, man. Yeah, I was reading some of the comments about Avowed, that some people found it boring. I didn't see it boring at all. I find it the presentation interesting and the game looks dope. I think it's really dope. It's gonna be really, really dope. You know, if you like their past games, especially Outer Worlds, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be really, really good. So, anything else before we wrap it up?
I think of those games for 24 from that we're all looking forward to. I think for me, besides Hollow Knight, Replaced, and Wolf Among Us 2. Wolf Among Us 2 is another one that I've got my eyes out.
That is still supposed to come this year, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wolf Among Us 2.
Yeah.
Big B.
Telltale.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, Telltale. Every time, just when you think they're they come back in.
I hope it's good, man. I hope it's really good. The last Telltale game that they made was kind of...
Hey, stop it. Stop it. It's going to be good.
And then, of course, Hades 2. Yep, that's it.
Ooh, that's right. Oh, yeah, Like a Dragon.
Speaking of Hades 2, 33 Immortals is basically is co-op Hades. Because when I played it at the showcase last year, that's supposed to come this year too on Game Pass.
Ooh. Yo, 33 players. That's going to be insane with 33 players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paris, was it challenging when you got to play, or was it too easy because there was so many people playing? Or
I mean, it was such a short demo. I mean, they obviously just wanted us to get a feel for it, but I seem to remember one of the people doing the demo said there will, because like you'll have like boss fight stuff like that where it gets super very, very challenging. It displayed good. I mean, it was obviously a quick demo that we did, but hell, again, it's on Game Pass, so why not check it out? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, look, one of our viewers here on Twitch mentioned Starfield DLC.
I don't think that's coming this year.
Why not? I think it should.
I don't think it
show something though.
Hey, I said I don't think it's coming
and
this
I
year.
And I said I too.
Yeah.
I
don't like your tone is what I'm trying to say.
I don't like yours.
Wow. I don't know, and my reasoning on that is because, and I know a big patch, I think it's already in Steam beta right now, they're doing improvements to the game. I feel like they're going to spend the rest of this year fixing the base game. 2025, now you come out with a big, big expansion for it.
So they're going to give us the Cyberpunk experience. Yeah. They're going to 2.0 and then drop a big DLC, and then everybody's going to fall in love with it and say it's the game it should have been when it launched last year.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1323. Sorry, there's so many numbers here now. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure to check out our poll while listening to the show and answer it, and we'll read it next week. Now, I would love for you guys to send us also questions here. Fan mail questions, comments. You want us to create great content? We need your questions. Send it in. And here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, thanks to Pete Productions, Full Effect, and also Paris Lilly. Good luck, Paris, with the game today.
Oh, thank you. That was very nice of you.
Good luck. I'm a very nice person. I'm a very nice person. I call, say good morning. When collusion. I call you, you say, what do you want? Big difference. I'm a nice person.
This is jury tampering. This is jury tampering right there.
We're out. Hellblade 2. Get some great review scores. I need to win this time. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.